Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You are now listening to TBL on silverandblackpride.com.
All right, everybody, we are back. It is Tape Don't Lie. It is your favorite Raiders podcast, favorite Raiders channel, favorite Raiders film breakdown. We're coming back after an exciting Monday Night Football win. You know, scored 33-27. Late night game was exciting. I know a lot of people are still, you know, have that, you know, that feeling from that game and, you know, how exciting it was. Probably be the game of the year. So what a big game that was. But, you know, you already know what to do, guys. Make sure you subscribe, right? Hit the subscribe button. Make sure you, you know, download on Spotify. Make sure you hit the subscribe button on iTunes, which is with, you know, Silver and Black Pride, the Silver and Black Pride Network, right over there. So make sure you do that as well. Make sure you hit the like button if you want to like this. And if you don't like it, go ahead, hit the dislike button, right? And then leave a comment, you know, wherever you want to feel. Make sure you follow me and BD on Twitter at the Mark John NFL and at BD Williams 18. Make sure you guys check out the Manscaped. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead, get you, you know, some Manscaped. I'm pointing the wrong way. You got the Manscaped here. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and get that. Go ahead, cop you something. Go ahead, use that discount code TDL using Manscaped. You know what I'm saying? You just get you something like $9.99, guys. Go ahead, support. You know, it doesn't have to be super expensive. Just go ahead and get you something that's really, you know, $10, something like that. Go ahead and support that, right? And then you also want to support all the people that, you know, got us shirts and everything. So we appreciate you guys. Go ahead and buy those shirts. And, you know, we see the people promoting it. You know what I mean? Shout out to my boy Tears Raiders. He's got that on his AVI. So,
Yeah.
So we appreciate the support, guys. Just to let you know, we appreciate all of it. So, and we want to apologize for the echo last week. Hopefully, you know, it won't happen again. So, all right, BD, how you feeling, man?
All right, man. You know, I know we had to stall this episode a little bit because the Raiders played on Monday night. So by the time we get our hands on a copy of the coach's film, the All 22, it's a day later than the rest of the film comes out. So, you know, going forward after this week, I think we'll be able to, you know, get this show on the road a little quicker, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but after going through the film, there was a lot of great nuance on the defensive side of the football. And I thought that the execution, the pursuit, the hustle, the attention to detail was so much better than I've seen from a Raiders defense. So I'm really geeked to show you guys some of the breakdowns from some of the film, you know, how they were able to kind of slow down the run game of Lamar Jackson. So that's what I'll be going over today, the QB run game, just slowing down the regular run game, how they fit against the run, some of those things. And then also, you know, we got to stay objective. So I'll also talk to you guys about some struggles they had in coverage and some things that need to be cleaned up. So that's what I'll be doing in segment two. Segment one, what are you going to bring us today, bro?
I'm talking about a little offensive line. We're going to look at Andre James versus the run. I know that's been a, you know, big question mark, you know, so we're going to go ahead and check that out. You know, a lot of people have been talking about some of his run mistakes. So we're going to go see deep dive into that. They're ready to check out the offensive line and pass protection. We're going to check out everybody. It's basically, you know, do some zooming in and looking at every single player, trying to figure out what happened, why they weren't picking up blitzes, you know, and, you know, seeing basically the outlook for this week. I mean, because it's going to be this probably the same offensive line that we saw for most of this game once Denzel Good tore his ACL. So once that happened, the offensive line that is out there is probably going to be the offensive line against the Steelers. So I wanted to deep dive in that. And then we talk about Bryan Edwards and talk about his growth during the game and how he's figuring out how to win. So and his struggles with that, even in this game, and how he started to figure it out late in the game, how to win and how he's going to win. So I think that was encouraging. So definitely going to be deep diving into that, you know. So any other thoughts about the tape that you saw or anything before we get into these topics?
You know, it was an incredibly close game. It literally could have gone either way.
Yeah.
Many times at the end. So it's great that the Raiders did win. Obviously, I'm juiced. You know, I'm so invested in the Raiders. I'm watching so much film. I'm preparing all these things. So I'm very invested. My time is invested in the Raiders. So I'm happy to see that they won. Mm-hmm. But you know, I always got to play devil's advocate here a little bit. And, you know, they're going to have to avoid getting out to these slow starts, avoid making some of these mistakes on defense so that they can win a little bit more convincingly. And Pittsburgh is going to be a tough out. So hopefully they're ready.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll talk about more about Pittsburgh, you know, on the preview show. But I mean, a couple of things I want to say, you know, I didn't like the game plan that they started off with. I thought the game plan was just idiotic. I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know what tape they're watching to get ready for this off for this defense. It just tripped me out. Like how much they called like deep routes, and then they called the same ones. And it's basically, I felt like, you know, we were watching the Rams joint practices. Like they threw everything at the Rams that they were getting ready for this game for the first 15. So they went to the Rams practice and just threw everything at them. That was their first 15 for this game. Like, this is our preseason. Let's get ready for it or something. Like, I don't know, but it was just a weird game plan, bro. Like they called four verts. I got to hear. They called it four verts twice. Okay. So they called that twice. They called the same Z post wheel, which is the, you know, where the one on Renfro where he goes out and then he goes and then he does a wheel route. Yeah. Yeah. With the over route, which we saw, you know, plenty of times last year. They ran that twice. You know what I mean? And they weren't able to move the football. And then when they started getting into the choice routes, guess what? Started moving the football. It's just crazy when I track it. It's like once they started getting to like their actual game, like everything changed. So it was just, I didn't understand it. Like if you're going to be a deep passing team, like I guess he thought he was going to be coming out here, you need more deep passing concepts. You can't do the same ones over and over again that you did last year. You gotta switch it up. I mean, they're ready for those things. I mean, they're ready, basically ready for everything that they, I mean, let's see. I don't know what Jim Harbaugh does, but I could see why he kills people like by 30 points week one. Because I feel like they get ready for a team since June, because that's how they came out. They came out like they knew everything the Raiders were going to do. I mean, even, you know, the play that you were talking about, that he missed Ruggs. I mean, that's week one, and you recognize a concept like that, what that they're doing. That's serious, like, preparation for that game. So that's how they come out and beat people's butt week one, because you could tell that defense was ready for everything that John Gruden does and their game plans. I mean, the choice routes they really can't handle because it's the way they play defense. And that's why I don't know why he just didn't go off on them. Like even the choice routes, bro, like every single, it was only one that wasn't successful, you know, that I charted. So it was like, I didn't get the game plan, but you know, I guess they didn't think that the Ravens would be ready for them week one. They thought that they would just come out and everything would be brand new, just like it was like playing the Panthers, and it wasn't like that.
I'm curious if the going vertical, like four verticals in the first like three drives, you know, doing it twice or something like that, you know, like some of these deeper passing concepts, pushing the ball, did that like prevent them from blitzing, or did it take a safety out of the box? Like, was there?
No, they weren't separating. So since they weren't getting open, it didn't matter. They weren't getting open on especially like on the out and ups. I mean, but that's what I'm talking about. They're playing off. So, I mean, and they really don't fear, I guess they weren't fearing anybody's speed. You could tell that too. So like they would be able to, you know, kind of break on something and still, you know, carry them up. Cause you know, the Raiders don't have a ton of speed besides Henry Ruggs, and Henry Ruggs isn't running that route. I guess it'd be a little different. Henry Ruggs is running the out and ups, you know, but you know, Waller's really fast, but you know, even then, I mean, even a corner should be able to hang with Waller by trying to, you know, unless he's like breaking on the in route, you know, but you know, they're prepared for those concepts, and you know, cause they come from certain looks like the 2x2s, and the certain looks that they have, they're prepared for it. They're ready. They knew if he goes out, I'm not going to jump it. I'm going to let him throw it because he could come back up on me. The Ravens shocked them because the Ravens were so ready for them. That's what I think the shock was. It's like, oh my God, why are they? I think the thought process of that, which I think is crazy too. I kind of think it's wild that, so I've never really seen that. I've never really seen, you know, charting a lot of week ones. I've never seen a team be completely ready for another team week one. And that, I guess that's why they kill people 47-3. It just makes complete sense to me watching that. But the Raiders, they held on. I mean, it didn't get to the 31-0 opening game that Harbaugh and them think they were about to do.
Yeah. You know,
it was interesting. Anyways,
it was a huge sigh of relief to see them, you know, and the sequence. It was like choice route, RPO, I think it was to Hunter Renfro.
Yeah.
You know, throw a little screen to Darren Waller. Like, all of a sudden, now we're going for the little small chunks.
Yeah.
Okay. And a team that they refuse to get beat deep. Like, they're going to be back.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, they're going to rally and that's how they play, because they figure, okay, the rush is going to get there. We're sending blitzes like crazy. We're sending all these different looks. We just won't get beat deep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're going to have to be perfect against us. And not that the Raiders were perfect, but there was a lot of great calls.
Yeah.
After that, like the scripted plays, like you're saying, after the great scripted plays, like, they figured them out. So
that's why I talk about, like, people say that Carr played like one good quarter. I mean, bro, after the first drive of the second half, like, he looked like Derek Carr, like he did last year. Like, everything was efficient, everything was smooth. I mean, that's why he went like 32 of like 46 after that bad start, because he settled down. They got back into the offense that they always run. They're able to hit their concepts that was going to work against this team, and they were able to start moving the football. And but I'm gonna do a Carr breakdown like separate. That's what I'm gonna do this year. So that's kind of my announcement today. So I'm gonna start doing those separate. So I'll get more into the passing offense later, and then kind of leave this show for some other stuff. But
all right, cool.
All right.
So why don't you just take it away then? Why don't you start with your segment?
So let's get into Bryan Edwards, you know, who was a secret superstar, right? I mean, secret superstar Bryan Edwards ended up coming up late. You know, I mean, everybody's complaining on Twitter, why is he not getting targets? Where's the targets for Ruggs and Edwards? Why are they even out there if you just get to Waller? So he just was a different player. He just turned into a different guy. I don't know. Maybe it's bright lights. Maybe it's just something that happens, you know, where he just becomes like a different player, bro. It was like the lights turned on and he started working, bro. He went to work, and that's why he started getting the football. I mean, it's straight up. I mean, and you know, I tried to fit Ruggs in here, but I would have been like 10, 15 minutes. So, you know, I'll try to do a little breakdown on Ruggs later on, but I think that's a kind of issue with, you know, some of them trying to get separation is that, we're not seeing them get separation early in the game. And, you know, when they're not getting separation early in the game, they're not going to get the ball. But you saw late in that game, I mean, the separation that he created against on that dagger route, you know, that's the dagger concept, you know, on the dagger concept right there. Once he created that separation, man, Derek Carr found him and he was able to make a throw. And, you know, and then he beat Marlon Humphrey. And then Derek Carr was able to see him and find it and, you know, do a great ball right to him, like right on the money in between those. That was great anticipation, everything. So, it was to watch Bryan Edwards breakout was awesome. And then, you know, back to the offensive line. You know, well, I'll finish up on Edwards too. I think the, you know, the false step is still there. You know, you really did, like, this was on the last drive. You didn't see it as much. It was like weird. It's like, it didn't come up, but like, I don't know if that's like maybe Edgar Bennett's like, you know, coaching them mid game, like, hey, bro, you know, fix up what you're doing. You know, Zay Jones gave them like an epic speech too before that all that happened. That, you know, nobody's talking about that much. He kind of revved them up on the sideline, and then all those guys ended up stepping up after that. So I think that was pretty big. But it was exciting to see that growth, and hopefully that continues, that he figures out how this is how I'm going to win, because I'm not going to win wiggling anybody. You're not going to out. I don't care what you did in camp or what you got on the internet, bro. You're not out wiggling anybody in the NFL. You better bully them like Jamar Chase Jamar Chase has already figured it out. Like, I'm not going to win this way. It took him in the preseason, but he was like, I'm not going to win this way. I'm just going to bully people. Obviously, that's all I can do. So you got to find the way you're going to win, and that's great. But back to Andre James, I think that, you know, it's a play strength issue with him. I think his technique is actually pretty sound. I think he's not really like out of place. He's never out of place. He's never out of position. So you could tell he's a smart guy. You know, he's going to get better at picking up blitzes. I mean, it's not something he's going to be able to do right now. And, you know, the Ravens ones are so exotic. I don't think Rodney Hudson can even, you know, really fully get guys set up. I mean, especially when we know where they come from, and you know, a couple of mine didn't show. I mean, there's a coffee house stunt that was crazy.
Yeah.
That came super late. I didn't even show that one. But so, I mean, the blitzes were crazy, but I think Andre James is a good pass protector. It's just in the run game. I don't know. It's tough for me. I feel like he's a liability. I feel like he's an actual little bit of a liability out there. I think there's like some good moments where he can get into space, but I just think he's not a mover. So like, what are you going to do in short yardage? You know, like, what is your plan in short yardage? Are you be able to run up the middle behind him? You know, I know it happened in the goal line, but I mean, John Simpson had some pancakes there, and I don't know how much, you know, Andre James didn't do too much on that, you know, but he did have some good blocks every once in a while on those plays. So it's not awful, but it will be interesting going forward how this affects the run game. Like, I mean, are they gonna have to pass 50 times every single game? I don't know. It's gonna be interesting, but the pass protection overall was decent. I think that's kind of all they need. I mean, the way Carr moved in the pocket, it's pretty rare for me to see him move like that. It was interesting for me. Interesting diagnosis. Him just stepping up regularly. Stepping up, moving, you know, like adjusting, like the throw to Ruggs, like that time he bought time and moved to the side, like, bro, like that was some interesting stuff for me. But anyways,
a couple things.
Yeah,
James, I think the plan obviously was for him to be bookended by Incognito and Denzel Good on either side, and now it's like Simpson, he's a young player, Illuminor, yeah. If that's how you say his name, yeah. He's like brand new. Like, they signed him like right after the cuts happened.
Yeah.
You know, so I think some of the communication issues where they're not picking up stunts, or some of that could also translate to the run game where guys aren't like on the same page on who's moving up to which level and who needs to double who and stuff like that. And, you know, he's going to need help straight up. Like, that's why they run a zone scheme, so that he can get help from a guard when he needs to move someone. So hopefully they continue to game plan that and get Andre James some help when he needs to move someone off the ball. But yeah, he's, you know, from what you're showing, I think some of the pad level was a little too high.
Yeah.
You know, for him to move guys around. So hope maybe he can bring that down a little bit, but so yeah. And then the other thing about offensive line is, like, this is Leatherwood's like first real game, you know, like,
yeah.
He has TJ Watt next, like, good. He's going to need a lot of reps against great pass rushers.
Yeah.
So that, you know, so some of these things can be like, okay, I got to lean on the technique, because right now what I'm doing right now isn't working. Yeah. So just working that technique, just getting into the right groove. How would you say he did in the run game?
I thought the run game, I mean, he was sound in the run game. I think the run game was mostly just blown up from the middle. I mean, that's kind of how everything happened. So, I mean, he wasn't able to really get into it, but when they're able to, you know, when they were able to have some good blocks, I mean, he really was able to, you know, show off his ability. So I do think that, you know, the pass pro, just a work in process. I mean, he had Justin Houston, bro. I mean, that's a tough. I mean, Justin Houston, I mean, he's got over 100 sacks in his career. Has to, right, at this point.
Yeah, so, for sure.
I mean, because Justin Houston was doing some savvy stuff to him, you know, that he probably was, you know, not used to. some seven cross chops.
Yeah, yeah, it's like
timing his hands. Like it was a lot, you know, it was a lot of things. He probably was like
decade worth of experience, you know, like that's what makes the NFL so fun to watch. Any professional sports, when you have like a young player going up against guys like literally been playing that professional sport for like 10, yeah. 15 years or something, yeah. like that, you know, like, yeah, sure, I'm not as strong or fast as you, you know, but I know these things. I know the, yeah. game. I know how this works, you know, and that's what Justin Houston did. I think a lot of the rookies kind of got served a little bit of welcome to the NFL. I mean, the touchdown in the back of the end zone, Trayvon Moore went to sleep on that play, you know, like he's sitting back there, yeah. you know, like it's a long time in the down. And he's like, plays over, right? And he looks over his shoulder. And as soon as he looks over his shoulder, the wide receiver takes off down the back line, the inline back zone. And, you know, it's just one moment of just like peeking, like, wait, am I done here? Like, you got to play through the whistle, especially if you're going up against guys like Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, but yeah.
Most of these NFL quarterbacks now can extend the play. Like, you can't go to sleep on the play.
Nope.
So, no. You know, Trayvon Moore definitely got welcome to the NFL experience with that play. Obviously, some of the Leatherwood stuff is a lot more front and center because they blitz a lot. Their car was under pressure in the beginning of the game, and so there were some sacks and pressures and things like that. And Leatherwood's always going to be under scrutiny because a lot of people thought that he was a reach. The question was always the pass blocking,
yeah.
you know, and now on this brand new offensive line, that's going to be, you know, a question until it's not anymore.
Yeah.
But going to Bryan Edwards, I really enjoyed how you highlighted how he wins with some of the push-offs, right? And
yeah.
it's not, you know, it's not cheating or, you know, like it's not in bad faith, whatever. It's a game within the game.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to do it subtly so that the refs don't catch you, okay? Yeah. And as long as you don't get penalized, it's legal, technically.
Yeah.
Right? If yeah. there's no flags being thrown on you, it's legal. And some of the things where it's, you know, very subtle, you know, he's not extending the full arm into it. It's just like small little shoves at the same mm-hmm. time that he's cutting, stuff like that, little throwbys. Yeah. And I think on that last one too, it almost looked like a Michael Crabtree, Texas Tech beating Texas. Remember
yeah.
that one?
Yeah.
It was so close to being that. But anyways, it looked like right before the ball came, he got in front of the guy and then threw him down on the ground. That's what it looked like because the guy went flying out of it.
It's basically what he did. Yeah, he has a lot of savvy stuff that he does, like to get open. Because
if it's small movements, if the hands are like down towards the waist, you can get away with that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. When the hands are up here and you're full extension, that's when you get called.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you got to be subtle. You got to be subtle, and it's craftiness, and that's how he's gonna win. Like. He's never going to be a sick route runner, like straight up.
No, he's not
going to win like that. He's got to win contested catches. And half the time when you're winning those things, it's because you're doing little things, mm-hmm. you know, the hand fighting down the field.
Yeah.
Okay. And it makes you a tough draw as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
So great that you showed those. I'm super excited about Bryan Edwards just from seeing some of those examples where he's continually winning at the catch point because he's, you know, doing some little subtle
things. Yeah, yeah. I love the lean, bro. He leaned in. He did a little lean in, you know, because he kind of won off this, you know, when he got into his stem that he already won, that he already had the inside, but he made sure he made sure, right. Both and then bounced it. He was like at 2 yards of separation, bro.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, all right. And you know, they need to use him on more dig routes too. I think they got to get him more dig heavy. Cause I think that's where he wins. I think they, doing those leans kind of winning and, you know, getting to those dig routes. Yeah. A lot of dagger, you know, a lot of Yankee. Yeah.
His route tree is going to be a lot of vertical stuff, I think, because when you get in that stem and the receiver's right, I'm sorry, and the corner is right on him, that's when he can use, okay, if he needs to lean and break in, if he needs to do a little throw by, just push the guy by and break out, you know, or if it's, you know, vertical and just kind of, you know, winning down there, that it's going to be, a lot of it's going to be based off of vertical stem. I think that's going to be his route tree. But Bryan Edwards, definitely, he needs to step up and Raiders need to start winning outside the numbers in the passing game, not just Darren Waller.
Yeah.
Not just Hunter Renfro. You know, gotta get someone like Bryan Edwards to, you know, be a consistent piece in this offense.
Yeah.
Anything else on offense before we transition?
You know, yeah. I mean, the point, I mean, yeah, they just got to, they got like Ruggs, and then they got to win more outside. They just got to, they got to find a way to create more separation. I think a couple of those plays, you know, those guys are just still right on his hip. And, you know, Henry Ruggs is too fast for some of these guys to be on his hip like that, especially like on the, you know, they ran this play, you know, called NCAA. And that's they threw the touchdown to Aguilar last year on this play. And, you know, Carr missed him, you know, and it had to be a tight window throw. So he had to be super precise with it. And that's why he ended up missing him. He's trying to lead him because he had to be precise because it was such a tight window and tight coverage. I think, you know, he has to find a way to win more because he's just too fast to have that guy in his hip like that. I feel like he's got to get to that point where he's separating, and it's just an easy throw for Carr on that over route. So, but that's the kind of the last thing I'd say, because even when he got knocked down and like hurt his hamstring, I mean, he didn't win there either. I mean, I think he was starting to get over the top of the guy just because he's so fast. But, I mean, he didn't win. You know, you want him to win and speed pass somebody. You know what I mean, dude? Like, it's like that's what you need from him. But I think they got to get him more free releases, I think, at this point. Like, find a way to get him more free releases, and maybe come back to that sail route where he ended up getting open. I feel like they got to come back to that. Like, maybe have Carr see that, have Carr open up his eyes to Waller, even though you know you're coming back to Ruggs. If it's, you get to single high look again, have that safety move over to Waller, and then just flip his hips back and just toss it. That's what I think they should do it. But
we'll see. I do want to talk about this because a lot of people keep on saying Derek Carr missed that. Look, pre-snap read, safety's in the middle of the field, okay? Safety continues in the middle of the field post-snap. Derek Carr is not looking at the post route. Like, that's now no longer a part of the progression. It's just random, like 99.9% of the time that safety just runs with the post. It's right there. You know, so it's just really random. And like by chance, all of a sudden now this safety is just letting Henry Ruggs go flying by him, you know, but you don't throw the post against, you know, cover one. Right. So like, that's why they didn't see it.
Yeah. Yeah. And also I'll say, you know, pre-snap on that play, you know, Carr has Waller in a 3-by-1 and nobody's over him, right? And they're blitzing and
he's thinking out.
And the guy over number two, which is Ruggs, who's taking the post on the sail, right? Right on the sail or whatever. Or if he's even supposed to run a post, which I find is interesting on that play. They ran that play two more times, and Hunter Renfrow ran it. Like, Ruggs never ran that play again. So I thought that was interesting. But so when he goes in the post, like to the number two guy, which I tried to explain this online, but I don't think anybody wanted to hear me. So the number two guy, he's supposed to, you know, carry with Ruggs. But since he sees Waller coming, he switches off, just like Hunter, just like Tyrann Mathieu.
Tyrann Mathieu, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He switches off, and then, you know, but this time Carr doesn't throw it, you know, doesn't blindly throw it. He sees it, and he throws it back down to Engel. And, you know, one thing that I thought was cool about that play, which I'm going to go more in depth, of course, when I do the little breakdown, whatever. But one thing I thought was really cool is that he tried to hold the corner with his eyes to Ingold. So if you watch that play back, if you see somebody watching, or you go on All 22, you see it online, something, watch the corner, right? So when Carr gets the back of his trap, watch the corner drive on the football. That's like the key to the play, because he's getting the corner to drive to the football, and then he's going to hit him over the top because he thinks that's going to be wide open because nobody's over a Waller, but the guy switches and then he checks it back down. So, but
you ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So it is some progress.
Yeah, I was like, all right, you know, as long as the miss makes sense to me, I guess I'm fine with it. That's kind of how I am. I guess I'm a quarterback guy, because, you know,
Right.
They all do it. Exactly. Anyways, we're going along. Go ahead. Go ahead, BD.
Okay. Go ahead, cool. So I'm going to jump into the Raiders defense breakdown here. What did the Ravens do? They knew that they wanted to get Nick Kwiatkowski, and this also happened to Denzel Perryman as well. They knew they wanted to get Corey Littleton out of the weak hook curl so that they could put the lesser coverage linebacker in that predicament. Now, what they do is they line up in a nub side formation, so there's only one tight end. So there's the there's the run strength on that side, the solid side, okay? Now, at the bottom of the screen, there's the passing strength, okay? So now we have Nick Kwiatkowski. He's the weak hook curl player away from the passing strength. So what happens? Uh-oh, three vertical. He has to match that guy, okay? And we all know how that worked, okay? So that's a hole right now in the Raiders' defense that needs to get shored up. Because Ben Roethlisberger, he's going to take advantage of that, right? And I thought it was fascinating watching the cat and mouse game of, how they were going about changing basically the passing strength after the defense already lined up to put Trips, away from the middle linebacker so that they could, kind of isolate that guy in coverage. I think they did a really good job, honestly, scheming up some concepts in the passing game. And, at the end of the game, Bradley, he realizing, okay, I have to, adjust here, goes to cover four a little bit and uses a DB now instead to kind of carry that weak, to basically play three vertical. So that was part of the cat and mouse game. I thought that they did a really good job there. There was a couple other things too. What did I tell you guys? Gus Bradley doesn't blitz very often, but when he does, they're successful, right? I told you guys that he blitzed two times. They resulted in two sacks. Okay, 100% hit rate. Okay, Paul Gunther would have blitzed four or five times, and they would have all gone for big plays.
Yeah.
Okay, except for one. Okay, that was the hit rate for Paul Gunther's blitzes. So Gus Bradley, he's conservative. Okay, there's barely a reason to even chart this game. Okay, I'm halfway done. He's doing cover three almost every single, it's 99% of the call is cover three and the same exact cover three look. They're not switching around where the strong safety is playing. No. Okay, it's either the Sam or the nickel to the three technique side. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then Jonathan Abram, he's a strong safety, and he's away from the three technique. And they just played like that basically the entire game. It was incredible to see, how they killed him with simplicity, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, a lot of people try to get into their own heads. Defensive coordinators get into their own heads going okay, we got to do it like this, and we got to do it like this, and we got to do it like this in order to beat this team that has all these exotic run looks. And for Gus Bradley, he was no, we're just going to play the same defense every down and hope that our guys can react the same way every time. And simplifying the game plan, I think, helped these guys. We saw it, helped the entire team play fast, pursuit of the ball. There was one example, and it was on a check down, okay? And this is how NFL defense should look. And everyone's dropping into coverage, it's cover three, okay? Everyone's dropping into coverage, and when it's a zone, everyone has their eyes on the QB. As soon as Lamar Jackson rears his hand back to throw the ball, okay, every single back seven defender, they all have their foot in the ground at the same exact time, okay, and they're all sprinting to the flat where the checkdown happens. And by the time the receiver, I think it's a running back, has a hold of the ball and he's turning upfield, okay?
Yeah.
He's completely fenced in on all sides by the pursuit. That's what good defense looks like. It's not about throwing different schemes out there, okay? No, it's breaking on the ball and making these lanes tough for the offense to get through, to navigate through, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. And just playing fundamental football. Okay, offensive players, they're going to make you miss in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Get there in a hurry and make them feel it. like we got 11 guys trying to take this guy's head off. You just get there first and, you know, deliver a big hit, and you know your teammate is right two steps behind you, so you don't have to, you know, worry about making a solo tackle in space or anything like that. That's what they did. Incredible pursuit, incredible discipline on defense to continually play the same game plan and just like never lose faith in it, and, you know, execute it at a high level in order to beat this team. And that's what you needed to do. So I am impressed, but it's not about the defensive line per se, or it's not about, you know, some of the sacks and some of the splash things that we saw, or like the blitzes. It's just like the entire team buying into a game plan. There was minimal mental errors, maybe only a handful of mental errors, and everyone playing fast. It's just such a huge difference from what the Raiders have had in the past.
Yeah, I mean, the Ravens struggled to move the football like consistently. I think that was a big thing for me. And it showed in like all their defensive metrics. I mean, the Raiders were ninth in defensive DVOA, I mean, this past week. And they gave up like a whole bunch of yards. And, you know, I read an article at Athletic. It made it seem like the Raiders defense didn't play well. But like you look at the advanced metrics, I mean, they held the Ravens to a 28% success rate in rushing. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, even with it doesn't matter like who's back there. I mean, you saw what happened with Tyson Williams when they made a mistake. I mean, it was a good run performance. I mean, the Raiders were number one in run stop win rate last week. Max Crosby was number Carl Nassib was number one. Max Crosby was number three. So they came to play against the run. I mean, if they play the run like that all year, bro, I mean, that's totally different than we've ever seen from a Gus Bradley defense, to be honest, than playing the run that way. And then the team that they're coming in this week is totally different, though. So, I mean, they're not good. I mean,
yeah,
they right. want to run the football, but it's the total opposite. This is not, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger at this point, I think he got rid of the football like 2.13 seconds. So it's going to be totally different.
Totally different look.
It's going to be interesting to see how it develops for them going forward. But I thought, I mean, just from watching what you showed, man, just like, you know, using Corey Littleton, where's Drew Tranquil at? I want to hit him up and show him that.
Well, Drew Tranquil is like the Nick Wachowski of their team. So he's like, why am I having to cover it? You know, and look, it's the NFL. It's not a bad defense because Nick Wachowski had to run with a wide receiver. Like, are you kidding me? You're getting paid $5 million a year. You better run with a wide receiver. Okay. Like what are we talking about right here? You're not in Pop Warner. Right. Yeah. You're not in Pop Warner. Okay. You can't go to your coach and say, hey, that's a mismatch or something like that. No, you're a professional athlete and you're a man. Go run with that other man right there. Right. Like straight up. Okay. So you can't say, no defender would ever say that, except for, I guess, Drew Tranquil. Yikes. But not the kind of defenders that you want on your team No, don't match me up against that guy. Like, are you going to hear Nate Hobbs, you know, complaining about having to get in the fit and stick his face in the fan when guards and tackles are in there? Are you going to hear him complain about that? No. And he had a couple good run stops, you know, sticking his face in the fan and getting in that run fit.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a game for guys who aren't afraid. And Nick Kukowski, you know, obviously, it's not optimal for him to be in that position. Yeah. Players are going to have to figure out what they're going to do when teams put formation into the boundary, or, you know, changes strengths and motions, how they're trying to isolate that middle linebacker in coverage and hopefully maybe give him some help. So we'll see.
Yeah. And I mean, that was a great throw too. So, I mean, you always can't beat a good throw. I mean, even if you had perfect coverage, that would have landed right in the basket. So you can't stop a perfect throw anyways. So, But I mean, everything that you showed about was encouraging. So what'd you think of the secondary? I mean, nobody's really talked about the secondary. So, you know, I kind of want to hear your thoughts from what you saw overall from the secondary. I feel like it's super quiet. Nobody's really talking about how they play, you know, Jonathan Abram, you know, those type of players. So let us know how you feel about that.
Yeah, there was an interesting sequence early on in the game. You know, they're playing cover three. Okay, and it's to the passing strength. So Nate Hobbs is over there, and he's playing the nickel. Mm. And they get smoke, right? So they're getting a hitch and a flat route. And yep. Nate Hobbs flies out of that curl window, okay? But Casey Hayward, he's probably one of the best cover three corners coming back and you know, defending stop routes. He's so good at it. Like, that was just such a big part of his game. And even though, like, Philmar Jackson is choosing the correct window, right? Because he sees the flat route being, you know, taken. So he throws the ball to the stop. Like, that's the correct read. Casey Hayward breaks that pass up, right? So I think Casey Hayward had a good game, but these corners are not going to be challenged the same way that they were against Lamar Jackson as they will be against Ben Roethlisberger. It's a whole different, you know, ball game and strategy with them. You know, it's second level defenders who are going to be tested against Lamar Jackson. And then, you know, in coverage against Steelers, it's going to be the outside guys and the safeties. And we're going to see what the game plan looks like. It cannot be cover three on 99% of the snaps like it was in this past game. So I think that we're going to find out more about them against Ben Roethlisberger than we really did right now. The entire game plan for the Ravens was to put second level defenders in conflict. Okay. And, you know, try to take advantage of the linebackers and make them dirty with their eyes or undisciplined. And in the end, the Raiders ended up being able to withstand that. So I say that was a positive performance in most aspects for the linebackers, except for this weak hook curl player in cover three, defending three vertical. Like, that's an obvious area where the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to come out slinging the ball and seeing if they fixed it.
If they have time to throw deep, we'll see. I don't know. I don't see them throw it deep, bro. I don't see Ben Roethlisberger hitting that route. He might throw his arm out. So,
I think obviously, like, we saw some really good things from the defensive line. Mm-hmm. I think going up against much different stylistic quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger, where he is going to beat the rush with a quick release. Mm-hmm. He's going to set protections, you know, obviously someone who's been in the NFL for how long as Ben Roethlisberger played in the NFL is going to probably be better at setting protections than Lamar Jackson, who's still a relatively young player in the NFL, right? Like, that's not saying anything bad against Lamar Jackson. We're just seeing, like, you know, master level setting protections from Ben Roethlisberger. So I think that it poses a different type of challenge. He's not as mobile. But he's going to stand in the pocket. He's going to keep his eyes downfield, and he's going to hit guys who are open, and their offense is going to be very conducive to taking advantage of, you know, some hot routes and some side adjustments. So we will see. I don't want to get too optimistic about it.
Yeah.
On the surface level, though, on paper, it's like pass rush and Steelers offense line is not very good, according to many people.
Not at all.
I can't confirm or deny that, but according to many people, it's not very good. I think before we get out of here, we should probably talk about Max Crosby just a little bit more.
Okay. Right? Yeah, for sure.
And having a defensive end, and if he continues on the trajectory that he's at, having a defensive end who can kind of cut off the field, okay, as a rusher, as a run defender, as a guy who plays in pursuit, you know, that's a big boost. And guys like Von Miller and Khalil Mack, these are different styles of players because they're much smaller than Max Crosby is. Okay. And they're predominantly on, like, an odd front team. But an even front team, you need a guy who's 6'5", 6'6" to be able to do these things. Right. So Max Crosby having the length of a actual defensive lineman, not a linebacker, actual defensive lineman. And then also some of, like, just the knack and the playmaking, you know, like, he was giving Lamar Jackson fits. He was making it very uncomfortable for Lamar Jackson, to the point where they basically abandoned their QB option run game. They abandoned it. They just handed the ball off, or the runs were scrambles during passing plays or, like, QB draws. But, like, the actual QB options part of the run game, they ended up abandoning it, like, in the second quarter. And, you know, the Ravens offense struggled from then on.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Yeah. He was a game breaker, bro. I've never seen him play like that ever. So, I mean, that was, pretty fantastic performance. And I mean, if you get that all year, bro, who knows what's going to happen with this team if he plays like that. I mean, it was a dominant performance. And, I know the detractors already are out there like, oh, it was against Venezuela or whatever. Oh, yeah, whatever. But I mean, whatever, guys. I mean, he's dominant everywhere. He's dominant against the run. He played the run good. I mean, he looked like
– Villanueva not good? I thought Villanueva was good. Villanueva's good, I mean, isn't he?
He's not anymore. You know, he's not anymore. He's not good. So,
but come on. Like, he's still a savvy vet, okay?
He knows what he's
doing. He's a legit pro. It's not a rookie, okay, or something like that.
Like the four sack performance? Yeah.
I'm not down on the competition. The competition was Lamar Jackson, and Lamar Jackson is an incredibly tough quarterback to go up against. And, you know, Max Crosby, and everyone on the defensive line, I mistakenly said in the reaction show that when we went live, that it was Solomon Thomas who forced one of the fumbles. No, it was Quentin Jefferson who forced one of the fumbles.
Yeah.
You know, Darius Finlan was getting into the backfield for some pass rush pressure and a run stop. Solomon Thomas was, executing that charge technique. Yannick Ngakoue, he was getting pressure. He was doing that charge technique.
Yeah.
Carl Nassib, you already brought him up. Like, the entire defensive line played well. They all had, you know, success at different points. But it was like from the beginning of the game to the end of the game for Max Crosby, the success just kept on coming.
Rick, he was just dominant, bro. He was dominant. That was some dominant defensive end. So, like, that was some TJ Watt. Like, you know, it was. I mean, there's no way you can't put it really around that. I mean, to have as many pressures as he had. Von Miller basically dominated against Nate Solder that way. I mean, it was the same dominant performance. It was the same pressure rate, just as much pressure he was getting on his pass rush snaps. It was pretty dope. And Max, he killed me a couple of years ago because I said that he's very athletic and has a crazy motor, and that's all. It really was the only reason he got 10 sacks his rookie year. I mean, the only reason he's had 17 in his first 2 years because he's so athletic and has a crazy motor, and that mixture just it means that you should be great. If you have you have that type of athleticism and you have that type of motor, like you should
and length. He's huge.
Yeah,
you know,
and length and bend too. Like he has all of it.
Like he's not. He was never like big, but he looked a lot stronger, Like when he was locking out on tackles, like not getting pushed around. He showed up a lot stronger this year.
Yeah,
right. To go along with, he's legit 6'5". He's probably got like close to like a 7 foot wingspan almost, or something like that. Right.
Yeah.
On top of length, on top of this athleticism, it's like a drunk boxer, it's very unorthodox, very awkward, I think, for tackles. And I think that it contributes to some of his success and the hustle, so it's just about being consistent for Max Crosby.
Yeah.
And then continuing to like play that chess game, have this pass rush plan where, you're using things that you set up over like the previous few weeks, and now you hit him with the counter. Based off watching film, you have to become like a chess player when you're playing defensive end. And I think that he certainly has the ability. And, we saw one good game from him or one great game from him in terms of putting it all together. Now we just got to stack those weeks. Hopefully we keep on seeing that from him.
And as long as, Yannick's over there, I think that's going to help a lot. I think it will stop the double team, stop them from adjusting the line to him. Cause and Yannick's limited. So his injury is not too bad. So, I think he's probably going to play this week. And, just having that tandem, if they could play like how they played, man, oh, my God, it's going to be. The back end won't even have to worry as much. I mean, the ball will be getting out so quick.
Ball's going to come out quick, yeah.
Yeah, especially, yeah. They're going to need those guys against, Ronnie Stanley and a new Bulaga's hurt out there for the Chargers. So, Ronnie Stanley, he was legit. And, that Chargers line looked really, really good. So they're going to need it. They're going to need it to be, you know, the Garrett Bowles types and, you know, Dalton Reisners that are in this, that are in the AFC West. And, you know, I'm not worried about the Chiefs guys really. I mean, Orlando Brown's slow. I'm not worried about that. But Mike Remmers, whatever, Lucas Niang. We'll see about those guys. They're still young. But but you know, the Chargers guys, and I'll talk about Rashawn Slater, but he was like, he looked really good. Like, that was pretty crazy. That line, they're going to need it to get pressure on the quarterbacks. Because if they don't get pressure on some of these guys, they're going to be able to pick them apart, especially because Justin Herbert's basically in the same offense that you know, the Raiders run. It kind of fits his style of play now. And, yeah, so they're going to need to get some pressure for sure.
Yeah. And we're going to find out. We're going to find out if this continues for sure.
Yeah, dude.
All right. That's it from us. You know, it's late over here. I live on the East Coast, so I got to run here. Thank you guys for showing up, supporting the podcast. This is the Tape Don't Lie podcast, okay? Make sure you can also show your other types of support to the channel. You can support us by going to manscaped.com, entering TDL as the promo code, getting yourself anything, okay? So very, very comfortable underwear. You can get yourself a shirt. You can get yourself a very high-quality clipper as well. And shave just about any part of your body with it safely and effectively. Yep. Okay. So that's it. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. I'm BD Williams. Follow me at BD Williams 18. Follow Marcus Johnson at the Mark John NFL. We got the Tape Don't Lie podcast crew. I'll let you.
Peace.